Throughout the election, issues of trade and manufacturing were front and center, with President-elect Donald Trump going after the auto industry in particular for moving jobs out of the country.
Ford's building a plant in Mexico. Okay. What good does that do? What good does it do? They're hiring thousands of people, all Mexican.
Well, joining us now in our View from the Top, our series of conversations with leaders, is Mark Fields, president and CEO of Ford Motor Company. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Jeremy. Glad to be on.
And I want to first ask you about the election we just had, about President-elect Donald Trump, who has criticized Ford for moving production to factories in Mexico. He has even threatened a 35% tariff on cars made in Mexico. What are your concerns as the leader of Ford about a Trump presidency?
Well, I think, you know, first off, obviously, we congratulate the president-elect and also the entire Congress. And, you know, now that the elections are over, both the president-elect and the Congress are going to be focusing on governing. And, you know, we're very hopeful that the right policies are going to be put in place, because I think we all share the same goal, which is to have a healthy and vibrant U.S. economy.
What are the right policies when it comes to trade, for example? We know that he is against the TPP, and we know that he wants to renegotiate NAFTA.
Well, from a trade standpoint, our policy objectives will continue to advocate for currency manipulation rules so that the market determines currency rates and not governments. Our other policy objectives are around fuel economy that is aligned with market realities, and corporate tax reform. So those are the things that we'll be advocating.
What do you mean corporate tax reform? Do you mean lowering the corporate tax rate?
Yeah, making it more competitive versus other countries around the globe, so that we can make American companies more competitive around the world.
Are you fearful at all that he will take action against Ford directly, as he's kind of indicated throughout the course of the campaign, for if you, for example, move a factory to Mexico?
Well, I think to put things into perspective, the focus that we're moving down to Mexico is to make room for two very important products in the plant in Michigan. So actually, there's going to be no jobs impacted. But when you look at things like tariffs, that would impact the entire auto sector. And that obviously would have an impact on the U.S. economy. So we want to make sure that we engage in a very productive dialogue with the policymakers on this.
How much cheaper is it for you as a company to make something in Mexico than in the United States?
Well, there's a lot of different factors. Obviously, from a labor standpoint, it is less expensive by a number of magnitudes. But then you have to put in there freight costs and things of that nature. When we look at our production in Mexico, first off, we've been in Mexico for 90 years. But also, when you look at the majority of our production and you look at our capital expenditures and R&D expenditures, the majority of that by far is done in the United States. You know, we have more than 10 times the number of employees in the U.S. than we do in Mexico. And we also produce more vehicles in the U.S. and employ more hourly workers than any other car maker.
Do you think that in 10 years that'll still be the case, that you have so many more employees here in the U.S. than in other countries?
Yeah, when you look at we're obviously a very successful global car maker, but our home market is in the United States, and we want to make sure the locus of the majority of our resources is in our home country, but at the same time, making sure we're growing in other parts of the world.
What would you say to, let's say, union workers, though, in Michigan, about how they can make sure that they remain competitive when really it's become a global economy and you could move to a place where it's cheaper to make something?
Well, first off, it's having obviously very good communication with our hourly workers, which we do, and we all have the common goal. We want to make sure that Ford is globally successful, but also healthy profitability in our home market. And we're all aligned around that, because if you recall, we paid out over $9,000 profit-sharing checks in March for last year's performance to each of our UAW workers. And the year before that, it was at record levels. So they understand that being profitable in North America is extremely important.
One of the things that we've seen during the Obama administration is that all kinds of car companies have started to move toward more eco-friendly, more fuel-efficient cars. First of all, how much credit do you give the president for that? And secondly, do you think that's going to change under President-elect Trump?
Well, first off, we look at it from a consumer standpoint. And, you know, whether it's $2 a gallon for a gallon of gas or $4 or $5, people still want good fuel economy. And that's what's been driving us over the last number of years, to have vehicles that are either the best or among the best in fuel economy in each and every segment that we compete. But then as we go forward, as we said, we agreed back in 2011 to the fuel economy standards that were set, but we agreed that there would be a midterm review. That midterm review takes place in 2018, and we want to make sure that's a fact-based discussion and that the regulations are aligned with market realities.
But you're saying that it's really more business reasons. It's the consumers want these cars rather than any regulation that is forcing you to move in this direction.
Well, regulation clearly has an impact here. But that's why we want to make sure that the regulation doesn't exceed the limitations of the technology or the costs of those technologies that people would have to pay.
But do you think that under President Trump, we're going to be moving in the other direction, that people are going to be deciding, you know what, I can make a less fuel-efficient car that is going to be more attractive to the customer?
Well, first off, we're going to have to see what policies that the president-elect puts in place. But secondly, I think, you know, the trend is, regardless, people, whether they want big vehicles or small vehicles, they're going to continue to want to make sure that they're fuel-efficient and they're not wasting fuel. And we'll continue to provide products that provide both those things.
We're speaking with Mark Fields, the president and CEO of Ford Motor Company. And I want to ask you about autonomous vehicles. How much of a part of your future is that going to be? And we hear that you hope to have an autonomous car ready by 2021.
Well, it's an important part. We think the next decade is going to be defined in the auto industry by the automation of the vehicle. And our intent is to have a fully autonomous, what we call a level 4 vehicle, where the passenger doesn't need to take control at any time in 2021 in a ride-sharing or ride-hailing service. And as we go out, our estimation is by the time we get to 2030, one in every 5 vehicles could be an autonomous vehicle. And so we think it's going to change the dynamics quite greatly, particularly in urban areas. And that's why we want to be a leader in this area. And we've been working on autonomous vehicles for over 10 years.
And who do you think your competition is on that? Is it the traditional car makers or is it companies in Silicon Valley?
I think it's both. I think you're seeing, obviously, our traditional competitors, but you're also seeing new competitors, particularly from the technology sector, that are looking at the automotive market and saying they'd like a piece of it. And, you know, overall, that provides even more motivation for us to make sure that when we do come out with our autonomous vehicle, it's true to our brand, and our brand has always been around democratizing technology and making it available to millions as opposed to people that can just afford luxury vehicles.
Well, why is ride-sharing a part of that adjustment period to go from not having an autonomous vehicle to having one? It seems like not just Ford, but other companies are looking at partnering with Uber and things like that, or making ride-sharing a big part of the first use of autonomous vehicles.
Well, when you look at the economics in ride-hailing services, clearly the biggest cost is the cost of a driver. And when you can take the cost of the driver out of that equation, the cost as a service goes down dramatically. And as you know, when something becomes more convenient and more affordable, people use it more.
What are you finding are the biggest challenges with making an autonomous vehicle?
Well, when you look at the challenges overall, I think they fall into a couple of different buckets. Obviously, the technology itself in terms of how it's maturing, both the hardware and the software. Secondly is regulatory statutes that will need to come into place. Third would just be the overall economics or the cost. And lastly, just the overall adoption from consumers.
Do you think that the automakers will ever need a bailout again from the federal government? And if so, should they get one?
Well, let me be clear. Ford Motor Company did not need a bailout versus some of our competitors. And I think our business today is much healthier and has a much different structure than it did before the last recession. So I think we're well prepared for that. And, you know, as we go forward, our strategy, and we've been very clear about this, is to fortify our strengths, to transform the underperforming parts of our business, and to grow in the emerging opportunities. So we feel very comfortable with our strategy going forward.
So do you feel that your competitors should have been bailed out?
Well, listen, I'm not going to rehash history. History is what it is. We're just going to look forward and continue to build on the level of success that we've had over the last number of years.
I want to ask you about one more thing, which is compensation. There's been a lot of talk about inequality in this country, and we've been talking with you just in the last few minutes about the cost of workers in various places. Do you think that it makes sense for the CEO of a company like Ford to make as much as you do, which is, according to what's out there publicly, you know, around $18 million a year?
Well, first off, a lot of my compensation is tied up into the equity in the company. So my compensation is fully aligned with our shareholders. And, you know, overall, we want to make sure that everyone in Ford Motor Company earns a good living. And that's why when you look at, for example, our UAW workers and the contracts that we've signed with them, it allows them not only to have a healthy wage, but also importantly, just like myself, be able to participate in the success of the company in terms of profit sharing. We're a for-profit organization. We want to grow. We want to do our part to provide economic development here in the country and every place we do business. And when we're all aligned around that, we can do wonderful things just as we have done.
That's Mark Fields, the president and CEO of Ford Motor Company. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy.